إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. So today then, continuing with the tafsir of Juz Amma, we're now on Surah At-Takathur, the chapter regarding the piling up of the emulous desire. Surah At-Takathur. And that is Al-Hakumu At-Takathur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir Kalla Sawfa Ta'lamun Thumma Kalla Sawfa Ta'lamun Kalla Law Ta'lamun Ilm Al-Yaqeen لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. So this surah then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, الهاكم التكاثر, the mutual rivalry for piling up the worldly things diverts you. The rivalry for piling up worldly things, it distracts you, it diverts you, until you visit the graves, i.e. until you die. Then, nay, you shall come to know. Again, nay, you shall come to know. Nay, if you knew with a sure knowledge the end result of piling up, you would not have been occupied in these worldly things. Verily, you shall see the blazing fire, the hell, and again you shall see it with certainty of sight. Then on that day, you shall be asked about the delights you indulged in this world. So what's the meaning of that then? The opening ayah, Al-Hakumu At-Takathur. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us how chasing after the world and the worldly items, the worldly things, it distracts and it diverts a person away from that which is important. It distracts and diverts a person away from thinking about the hereafter, because they are distracted by running after the world, collecting and piling up the possessions that they can gather from the world, from the wealth and from the possessions and the other items. So all of this type of mutual rivalry, and it doesn't have to be in wealth, it doesn't have to be in money, this rivalry and competition for the worldly things. It could be with money, it could be with other things that people have pride in, that they fight over these things, or they compete over these things, whatever that might be, and they have pride over having more than others in them, so they try to gather as much of that as possible. It could even be with something like knowledge. For example, if it's Islamic knowledge, then of course that's good to gain as much Islamic knowledge as possible sincerely for the sake of Allah. But other types of knowledge, maybe somebody is experienced in sciences or experienced in some other field, so they want to gather more and more knowledge of that particular field and become more and more of an expert in that field to be able to compete and better and be better than all the others in that field, to be able to be proud of having gathered more knowledge in that particular field of the sciences or whatever it is, in order to be greater and more higher in status and position than the other people in that particular field. So that is a type of gathering and piling up. That is a type of running after the worldly affairs, even if it is these certain types of knowledge, in gathering them and learning them and studying them to be higher and have more pride than other people in that field. All of this is the gathering up of items. All of this type of thing, the gathering up of these worldly things, piling up these worldly things, then all of these affairs in this ayah, Allah says, they distract you. They distract you and they divert you away from remembering the reason why you were created. From remembering the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you upon this earth. And that is, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah did not create the jinn or the humans. He did not create them except for one reason. And that reason Allah told us in the Quran what it is. The purpose of our existence, the reason why we are on this earth, it is not just a play, it is not just to go and gain knowledge of sciences or mechanics or whatever the field is, it is not to become experts in that only, and to spend all of our time gathering knowledge of that to become a doctor and a professor in that field. It is not for the sake of gathering the money and the wealth and the possessions and the houses and the cars. These types of things that the people they run after and they gather and they want to pile up as much as possible, then all of that, it diverts and it distracts a person away from the reality of the reason why Allah placed us on this earth, which is to worship Him. The purpose of our existence is to worship Allah. But this gathering up of all of these worldly things, it distracts the people away from their main purpose and their goal in this creation, in this life, the worship of Allah. Instead, their goal and their objective becomes something else. Their goal and their objective becomes what the end of year figures are going to be for the profits, for the business. Their goal and their objective becomes how quickly they can buy the new car. Their goal and their objective is how quickly they can buy new houses. Their goals and their objectives when they wake up and what they think about are the gathering up of these worldly things and the worldly possessions. That is what has become the objective of the minds of the people, and that is from the whisperings of the shaitan. Because a person, his objective in his mind should always be from every morning to every evening that he is on this earth, he is doing what he is doing, all of that for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the way the Salaf they used to be. The Salaf, i.e. the companions who were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Tabi'een, the ones who came after the companions, who were students of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum, and then the Atba' Tabi'een, those third generation who came, the other Salaf, they were like this in terms of having their minds focused. They were not distracted by these worldly things. Their minds were focused on the worship of Allah. That's why it even mentions that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, even though he used to have to work, just like the companions, they used to have to work, they used to have to look after sheep and their camels and other things they used to have, so they used to have to spend time looking after those things too. However, they knew in their minds that looking after these sheep and camels and making the money from that or whatever it was, that isn't the objective of their creation. They knew that wasn't the purpose why they were there. They knew, even though they had to spend some time doing these things, that the objective is the knowledge of the religion. The objective is worshipping Allah. That's why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, it's narrated about him, that even though he used to have sheep to look after, then he made an agreement with his neighbor. He made an agreement with his neighbor, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the agreement he made with his neighbor was that they would take turns in looking after the sheep. They would take turns. So one day Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would look after his sheep and his neighbor's sheep and cows and his affairs. He would look after everything and take responsibility of him and his neighbor's issues and affairs and sheep and camels and everything for a day. In the meantime, his neighbor would then be free to be able to go and sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a day and seek knowledge. Then at the end of that day, that neighbor would come back and report back everything he'd learnt in that day to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he would catch up everything his neighbor had learnt that day. Then the next day they would swap. So the neighbor would stay and look after all the sheep and camels, his own and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He would look after the sheep and the camel for both of them. And Umar ibn al-Khattab would go down and sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for that day. Then when he came back in the evening, he would tell his neighbor everything he learned that day. That way, they would never miss out on a day. Every day, at least one of the two would be sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that person, whoever's turn it was, he would come back and tell the other one what he learned that day. So both of them would keep up with the knowledge on a daily basis. So this is how they used to have their mentality. Their mentality and the mindset was all about the knowledge. That was the priority, not the sheep and the camels and making the money from that and the farm and whatever else. The mentality, the mindset, the objective was always the knowledge of this religion and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you see how they devised this way of being able to carry on with knowledge. Because if they didn't devise that way, if they didn't come to this agreement, then Umar ibn al-Khattab would be there looking after the sheep, etc. His neighbor would have to be looking after his sheep, etc. And they would both miss out on the knowledge. But instead, they came to this agreement where one would look after everything for one day, then the other person would look after everything for the next day, and in that way, both of them would have one day at a time each free to be able to go and sit with the Prophet ﷺ. This is the importance they used to give to knowledge. It's mentioned also from Abu Hatim, Ibn Abi Hatim. He mentions that on one occasion, these were from the great scholars of the past. These were from the great scholars of the past and how they knew that the objective was this knowledge and this religion, not these worldly things, whatever it might be, not even food. In this example, you see that there were some of the scholars, it's mentioned in one of their books that on one occasion, they went to the market and they saw a nice fish that was being sold. And it pleased them. The fish looked good. This is from the olden times, 1,000 years ago. This story is an old story, before fridges and freezers. 1,000 years ago, on one occasion, they were going somewhere in a market or passing by and they saw a nice fish and they liked it. So they bought it. They bought the fish and they took it home. And imagine, this was 1,000 years ago. You don't have the refrigerators and the freezers like these days. They took it home. But that day, when they got home, they were busy with their books and their learning and their memorization and the Quran. And they didn't get time to cook the fish. So it stayed there for a day. The next day, again, they were busy with their books and their knowledge and going to the lessons to study and to learn. The whole day, they didn't get time to cook the fish again. Then the third day, still they didn't get any time to cook it because their priority was knowledge and learning in the Quran and they didn't get enough time to cook it. Then in the end, they just had to eat it like it was. So this shows you how the scholars they were, how those people understand that their objective in this world, it is knowledge and action. It is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not gathering up of the worldly affairs, not even going after the nice foods. Rather, the priority is this knowledge. They mention about some other scholars, that one of the other scholars, when he was busy with his knowledge and learning, when it came to eat, when it came for time to eat, if he had some bread and water, then it's mentioned that he would get the bread, squash it all up into the glass of water, and then drink the bread in the water. When he was asked why, do you eat it like this? Squash the bread up into the water and drink it like that. Why not eat the bread and then drink the water? That's better, tastes better. He said, because if I eat the bread and then drink the water and eat the bread and drink the water, that takes ages. It will take too much of my time. It's quicker if I squash all the bread up into the water, drink it in one go, and it's all down me and I'm done and I can carry on with my studies and my work again. This is how they used to give importance to time. Al-Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, it's mentioned about him that when he was having some architecture done in his house, when he was getting some doors fixed in his house, in his library, where his library was, he was getting some doors fixed. And the person who was fixing the doors for him, he was fixing the doors into his library doors, so that when you open them, you have to open them out. You get to the door and you have to pull to open the door. He said to the person who was fixing the doors for him, don't do it like that. Swap the doors around, swap the hinges around, so that when I get to the door of my library, I don't have to pull open the door. I want to be able to push into the door and open it. Why? What's the big deal? Whether you have to pull the door open or whether you push the door open. He said, because if I have to stop at the library and pull the door open, then that will take longer than if I go to the library and can just push it and go straight in. It will save me half a second every time. So he said to him, for that reason, don't make the doors pull doors. Make them swap the hinges so I can just push the door into the library and walk straight in. Because that way I'll be able to save half a second every time. This is how they used to give importance to their knowledge. Importance to learning and studying and worshipping Allah. Al-Shaykh al-Albani as well, rahimahullah, it's mentioned that he used to have a particular hour or a particular time period set for people to be able to ring him and ask questions. And whatever that particular time period was, 5 p.m. for example, till 6 p.m, maybe that 1 hour, it's mentioned that on one occasion somebody rang him at 1 minute before that specified time. 1 minute before the specified time that a Shaykh al-Albani had given to people to be able to ring him. So for example, if it was 5 p.m, somebody rang him on one occasion at 4:59 p.m. So when that person rang him and he said, Shaykh, it's the question hour, I want to ask a question. The Shaykh said to him, no, it's not. There's a minute left yet and that minute is my time. When it comes to 5 o'clock, then that will be your time. Do not distract me from my time in my studies and what I need to do. When it comes to your time in 1 minute, then ring back. This is how they gave importance to their time, not wasting anything. What they needed to do in knowledge and seeking knowledge and practicing it, then they gave the focus to that. So here at the beginning of this surah, it says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, that this gathering up and piling up of the worldly things, going after these worldly things, whether it is money and wealth, whether it is certain specific types of knowledge to become a professor or whatever, going after these types of sciences and these types of things that take your mind away and distract you and divert you away from the key thing, which is to remember that you are here ultimately. You are here for one reason, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So then Allah says that you are diverted away with all of these things until hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves, meaning until you die. When you die and you enter the grave, then a person comes to recognize and he comes to realize the reality of the situation. That's when Allah says then, hatta zurtumul maqabir, kalla sawfa ta'lamun, that when you visit the graves, when you die, then you shall come to know. Then you will come to know about the reality of the affair. You will come to know and realize the importance of this worship to Allah and what you needed to have been doing. Then you will realize when death comes upon you. But prior to that, the people become disillusioned. They become diverted, distorted away from that objective of worshipping Allah. So then Allah says, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, that you will then come to know. Then you will come to realize the reality. سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, أي سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ عَاقِبَةَ أَمْرِكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ, that you will then realize what the end result of your activities is when you return to the hereafter. When you die and the afterlife begins, then you will realize what you have earned for yourself and the end result of your activities and how you spent your life. That's why the scholars, they say that this world, it is a world of gathering, not the worldly things, but gathering up your good deeds. And the hereafter is a world where you will be given your reward, your recompense for those deeds that you did. So whomsoever finds goodness, then let him praise Allah. and whomsoever finds evil, then do not blame anyone other than yourself. So here then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, that when you die, then you will come to realize the reality, and you will realize, أَنَّ هَذَا التَّكَاثُرُ لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ, that all of this worldly piling up of the desires of the various things, none of that benefits you. The cars, the houses, the businesses, whatever it was that a person spent his life in, then that does not benefit you. And the Shaykh even mentions that perhaps some people, the older they get, the even greater their desires become to want to get this and to want to get that. They get older and older in age, but their objectives become bigger and bigger. So they become older in age, but their objectives become bigger. They want to get more houses. When they've got 10 houses, by the time they get to 40, when they get to 50, they want to have 20 houses. They want to build their portfolio even more. So the older a person gets, sometimes the Shaykh says, the even greater all of his desires become to want to increase what he's already got, to increase the level of wealth that he's already got. So this Allah says in the Quran now, ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, that you will come to know the reality that all of this gathering up of the worldly things, it does not benefit you. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, nay, if you knew with a sure knowledge, if you knew, Allah says, if you knew in reality, if you knew in reality what would occur from you wasting your time and spending your time in gathering all these worldly things, حَقًّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَعَرَفْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ, then you would know. You would know that you are upon misguidance. If you knew the end result of using your time just going after the worldly things and forgetting about your purpose of creation, which is to worship Allah, if you knew the end result, then you would know now that you are upon misguidance going after the worldly things. If a person knew exactly the end result of the hellfire and the punishment, then the person would know that going after all of these things would be and is indeed a misguidance. But the point is, لَكِنَّكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. The problem is, or rather the point is not the problem, but the point is, you do not know in reality. You don't have the definitive knowledge of what is to occur. You have not seen the fire. You have not witnessed that. You have not experienced that. So without that type of knowledge, without that type of certainty, then as a consequence of that, the people, they become negligent. لِأَنَّكُمْ غَافِلُونَ, you become negligent, the Shaykh says, in this world. But if you knew that affair with certainty about the hellfire, and you were aware, and you realized, and you pondered, and you thought, then you would know how much of a misguidance it is to go after all of these worldly things and forget about the fact that everything you do here, all of your activities here on this world in your life, they are for one purpose, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the scholars, they say, all of these things which Allah has created, all of these different things on this earth which Allah has created for us, then they are all there to help us to worship Allah. They are all there to be able to help us to worship Allah. Even when you go to work, then your intention can be that I need to go to work to earn this money to be able to feed my family, which is an Islamic right upon you. So that would be an act of worship. Or you know that you need to work, etc., because you want to, for example, give in charity. That's an Islamic act of worship, giving in charity. So even going to work, you have in your mind intention that this money I'm earning, it's going to be used in the path of Allah, used upon the rights which are upon me in giving zakat, in feeding the family, in giving in charity. So even an act of going to work is something that you have a good intention for, in line with your purpose of creation, which is to worship Allah. Then Allah says, "Kalla." لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, that if you knew with certain knowledge, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ, that you would see, you shall see the blazing fire. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم. You shall see the blazing fire. هذا الوصل إما غفلة منهم ونسيان وإما أنهم لم يتأملوا إلا يحق التأمل. This now, how does a person not know with certainty about paradise and hell? It is our iman with certainty that paradise and hell, they exist. They've already been created by Allah and they already exist. So how can this not be something which is certain to us? The point of it is that a person, he forgets. He becomes negligent of that reality. He becomes negligent of that reality, ignorant of that reality, and he forgets that reality. So as a consequence of that negligence of the reality that he knows, then he goes and falls into this misguidance of chasing after the worldly affairs. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, وَإِلَّا لَوْ تَأَمَّلُوهَا حَقَّ التَّأَمُّلْ لَوَجَدُوا أَنَّ الْوَصْلَ يُفْسِدُ الْمَعْنَى. لأنه إذا قال كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ تَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Here the Shaykh is explaining how to recite this ayah and whether you join it on or you don't join it on. But the purpose of all of that is explaining regarding this hellfire, that a person when he sees the hellfire, because Jahim is one of the names of the hellfire. So when a person sees the hellfire, and that will be on the day of judgment, when is the hellfire seen by the people? That will be seen on the day of judgment. يُؤْتَى بِهَا تُجَرُّ بِسَبْعِينَ أَلْفْ زِمَامٍ. 70,000 reins or ropes will be pulling the fire. Every one of them has 70,000 angels pulling it. فَمَا ظَنُّكَ بِهَذِهِ النَّارِ. So the Shaykh says, what do you think is the severity of this fire? That there are 70 reins or ropes, and at the end of each of those ropes is 70,000 angels pulling that fire, and that's how it will be brought. And these are great, large, powerful angels also. So the Shaykh says, you realize the reality of that fire, the hellfire, and how it is. Then it mentions, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then on that day, you shall be asked about the delights. Then on that day, you shall be asked about the delights that you indulged in this world. In this world, then a person, he indulges in various delights. And Allah has given us many blessings. And on that day, then everybody will be asked about those blessings that you are given. And there are narrations about that. There is, for example, the famous narration about the three individuals who will be asked about the blessings they were given, and then they'll be thrown into the hellfire because they did not use those blessings for the sake of Allah. So, for example, there was one individual, it's mentioned in the hadith, that he will be shown all of the blessings Allah gave him on the day of judgment. And it will be said to that person, do you recognize all these blessings? He will say, yes. He used to have all of those blessings when he was on this earth. So then it will be said to him, what did you do with all of these blessings that you had? Everything Allah gave you. He will say, I fought in the path of Allah. But then it will be said to him, you're lying. You only fought in the path of Allah. So people would say, look how brave you are. So even though he was given lots of blessings and he went and he fought, he was only doing that to show off. So he'll be thrown in the fire. There's another individual in the hadith, it says that it will be said to him, all of the blessings you had, do you recognize them? He will say, yes, I recognize all these blessings. I used to have them in the world. All of these luxuries, blessings, different things. Then it will be said to him, ماذا عملت فيها? What did you do with regards to all of these blessings? Then he will say, I learned the Quran and I learned knowledge and I used to teach the people. He will say, I used all of these blessings Allah gave me and I used my time wisely and I learned the Quran and I learned knowledge and I used to teach the people. But then it will be said to him, you're lying. كذبت. You only used to do that. Learn the Quran and teach the people. لِيُقَالْ قَارِئ. So people would say, look at what a beautiful reciter he is. That's the only reason you spent time learning and teaching the people. So people would say, look how beautiful your recitation is. And the only reason you spent time learning knowledge and teaching the people was so that people would say, look how much knowledge he has and how much a scholar he is. So that person, he was doing all of those things to show off as well. He was not using the blessings he'd been given for the sake of Allah. So he'll be thrown into the fire. In the same hadith it says that there's a person who was given lots of money. Allah gave him blessings and gave him lots of money. So it will be said to him on the day of judgment, do you recognize all of these blessings? He will say yes. He recognizes all of those blessings that he was given, all the money and everything. Then it will be said to him, what did you do with all of these blessings? مَاذَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. He will say, مَا تَرَكْتُ مِن سَبِيلٍ تُحِبُّ أَن يُنفَقَ فِيهَا إِلَّا أَنفَقْتُ فِيهَا. He will say, all of this money that I was given, I didn't leave any way that you love charity should be given in, except that I gave in charity in all of those different ways. All of the different ways that are good, suitable charities, Islamic charities. He said, I gave to all of them. But then it will be said to him, Kadabt, you're lying. You only gave all of that money. You only used to give in charity. You only used to use all of these blessings that you were given in charity, just so that people would say, Jawad. They would say, you are generous. You wanted people to say, look how generous you are. You wanted people to say, look how kind you are. Look how much charity you give. And so the people, they used to say about you. So this person, all of that money he had, all of those blessings he had, he was using it to show off with. He was using it to spend in charity just so people would say, look how generous he is. So this shows to us that the blessings Allah has given us, then those blessings and those luxuries and those indulgences, all of the various types of blessings Allah has given us in this world, then we must use them in the correct manner. Because if we do not, then as this ayah says, on that day, we will be asked about all of these blessings that we were given. We will be asked about all of these blessings we were given. We will be asked about the money that we got and where we spent it. Where you got the money from? Was it a halal source of money? Or was it a haram source of money, taking interest and other things? You will be asked about that. And where did you spend the money? Did you spend it in something haram? Or did you spend it in something halal? So all of these things will be asked to a person on the day of judgment. And that's what the end of this ayah says. A surah says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then on that day, you shall be asked about the delights. You shall be asked about the delights that you used to have in this world. The luxuries, the blessings that you used to be in. So we have to remember and we have to recall that all of this world and everything that Allah has created for us, it is for the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to become distracted thinking that this world is the end result. It's all about this world. Rather, as the scholars, they say, you should behave as the hadith says, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرَ سَبِيلٌ. Be in this world as if you are a stranger. What does that mean? The scholars, they say it means this hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said, be in this world as if you are a stranger. Meaning, when you go somewhere away from home, when you leave home and you go to some other place, you go somewhere far away and that's not your home, you go somewhere far away, you have to stay in a hotel at night, you have to stay somewhere else at night, it's not your home. How do you feel? You feel a bit uncomfortable. You don't really feel properly comfortable. Comfort is in the comfort of your home, where you're in your own home, in your own area, with your friends, your family. That's where the comfort is. When you're away somewhere, you have to go on a business trip for a week somewhere abroad, or you have to go somewhere down to the south of the country, to the north of the country, far away, for a couple of nights, two or three nights somewhere far, you have to go spend in a hotel somewhere. You're not relaxed and comfortable as you would be at home, because you are a stranger in that place. You don't know your way around, you don't know where the shops are, you don't know how to get to this place, how to get to that place. It's all unfamiliar surroundings. You're a stranger in that place. So you're not comfortable. You do what you need to do there finish off your business, whatever it is, and you want to get back home to where you actually live, where you can be comfortable. The scholars, they say that's the meaning of this hadith, be in this world as if you are a stranger. That this place, this world, don't think as if this is your home, where you are comfortable and relaxed. Be in this world as if you're in a strange place. That you do what you need to do here, and then you go to the eternal, the actual residence, which is the hereafter. In this world, you spend your time here, you do what you need to do, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's as if you're a stranger. You don't get comfortable here, you don't relax here, you don't think this is your final place where you're going to stay forever. This is a temporary place. Just like when you go on a business trip somewhere, you know it's temporary for a few days, maybe uncomfortable in the hotel, you don't know where the places are. You do it for a few days and you come back. The same with this world. It's temporary. You worship Allah. You do what you need to do. You don't get comfortable and relaxed. Similarly, the hadith says, "Aw 'abiri sabil," or be in this world like you are a traveler. Be in this world like you are a stranger or like a traveler. A traveler, same thing. When you're traveling away from home somewhere, then it's not your home wherever you are. It's a strange place, it's unfamiliar, you don't know your route, you don't know anybody there. It's unfamiliar surroundings, uncomfortable surroundings. So you don't get comfortable there, you don't get settled there. You're traveling. You're traveling, so you don't get comfortable and settled until you return to your actual residence. So the same with us now, that's what the Prophet ﷺ meant. Be like you are travelers in this world. You're not resident here, you're not relaxed here, you're not settled here. You're traveling through this world, do your worship, do your obedience to Allah, and as the years they pass by, when it ends, then you return to the actual residence, what you will remain in forever, and that is the paradise or the hell. And that is the meaning of this particular narration, that be in this world as if you are a stranger, or as if you are a traveler. Meaning, do not become comfortable in this world. Do not become relaxed with all of the blessings that you might have. The houses and the cars and the properties and the wealth. And all of the different things and the luxuries that you've been given. Then not to become relaxed with all of that. And to forget that actually you are here for the purpose of worshipping Allah. That's why some of the Salaf, they used to say, that if the angel of death came today, if the angel of death was at the door right now, then I would not be able to increase my obedience, my actions any further. Meaning he had done as much as he could from worship already. There was no way of being able to increase his worship further. He had done what he could do. So if the angel of death came then, he said there's nothing more I could have done. Nowadays though, if you ask the people, it's the complete opposite. If a person thinks about how he spent his day and how the time has been spent, his life, his months, his years, and he grows old, how has that time been spent? Then the person, the majority will say, no doubt, if only. And even that is impermissible to say. Rather, the person needs to use that time properly in the first place. Not to then regret later that I should have done this and I should have done that. This is the way that the Salaf they were. There's a narration from one of them, Masruq, when he went to Hajj. When Masruq, it's mentioned regarding him that when he went to Hajj, Hajj is only 5 or 6 days. Whole of Hajj takes 5, 6, 7 days and it's finished. The whole of Hajj from beginning to end, several days only. And when he was doing the Hajj, it's narrated that in the night time, he would go to sleep in prostration. He would lie down as if he's prostrating, with his head down on the floor, his arms, his knees, his legs, as if he's in a prostrating position and go to sleep like that. So they said to him, why do you sleep like that? He said, because Hajj is only a few days. Hajj is only 6 or 7 days. And I want to make sure that I use every moment in Hajj in the worship of Allah to the extent that even when I go to sleep, then I want to be going to sleep in a state of prostration to Allah. He said, every moment I want to use it somehow in the worship of Allah. Even going to sleep, I want to sleep in a state of prostration in these 6, 7 nights that are here for Hajj. so that no time is wasted whatsoever. This is the way of Ahl Sunnah, this is the way of the Salaf. This is the way that they would use their time and their worship and their obedience in Allah, or to Allah. Because they recognize that this world, it is a temporary abode. They recognize this world is a temporary passing. So it would not be something they would become comfortable in, would not be something that they would relax in, and it would not be something that they would allow the worldly things to distract them and to divert them away from keeping the focus that the reason why Allah has created them is to worship Him. And this is, as we mentioned just a couple of weeks ago, in Surah Al-Asr, when Allah said that all of mankind is in loss. All of mankind is lost, except for those who have four descriptions. All of mankind is in loss, except for those who have four descriptions. Wal-Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. That means by time, all of mankind is in loss. Illa alladhina amanu, except for those who have iman. And as Al-Shaykh Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said, and other scholars, the meaning of that is knowledge, because iman cannot come without knowledge. So for those who have knowledge, they have iman. That's one characteristic. And amilus salihat, they do the righteous actions and the obedience and the worship. And watawasaw bilhaq, they advise each other and they counsel each other upon the truth. They enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. And watawasaw bisabr, they enjoin the patience upon each other, patiently persevering upon the worship of Allah, even though those difficulties may come upon that way. So there were the four descriptions and characteristics mentioned for Savior. And here similarly they are applicable for the one who wishes to keep himself focused and not to fall into being distracted away by the glitters of this world, then to keep his mind focused on seeking knowledge, on understanding the methodology of the Salaf, memorizing the Quran and the Sunnah and practicing it. That is the person who will keep his mind focused, no matter what the decree it may occur to him, whatever the situations and the circumstances and in his life, whatever difficulties, hardships may come. Then that person can be patient upon the decree of Allah. He continues to learn the knowledge and practice it, and therefore continues to practice and fulfill his objective of being upon this earth, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that in brief is Al-Hakumut Takathur. Al-Hakumut Takathur. That is in brief the tafsir of that surah. And we'll conclude upon that today. And Al-Qari'ah, we'll start that from the next lesson inshaAllah ta'ala. But for today, we'll conclude upon that surah alone, At-Takathur. So everybody should revise up to there so far, memorize all of those surahs so far. And next week, or in the next lesson, we'll test you on Suratul Qari'ah. Al-Qari'atu mal-Qari'ah. So that's where we'll begin next time, inshaAllah. We'll conclude that today. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.